It's now 8:09. Good morning. This is the KPCW Local News Hour. I'm Lynn Ware Peek, sitting in for Leslie Thatcher this week. Now joining me in the studio, I have Aaron Bragg, the Conservation Director of the Summit Land Conservancy. Good morning to you, Aaron.
Good morning.
First of all, I did want to ask you about this elk herd. We did a story on it. People seem quite incensed about the elk herd. It's damaging an Oscathorpe property where they farm. And I just wanted to get the Summit Land Conservancy take on it, because I know you deal a lot with that elk herd, with the easements in Round Valley and in the general area.
Correct. So wildlife in our state is managed, so a relocation of animals is not uncommon. For instance, up here in Park City, sometimes we have a lot of issue with beavers. They fill up the culverts over on 248, so we need to move them to a place where it's better for them, better for the animals, which is something that they are contemplating with this elk herd. It is a little bit damaging for Steve because he farms that land. That's his income. You know, you probably wouldn't like it if somebody was getting in on your income. So it's their livelihood, and we work with them to, you know, help the landowners. He did just put up an elk fence, but might not be working as well as he thought it would. So they will be looking at potentially relocating that herd. And that also brings us to our conservation alert, because we've started a service that we will let people know when there are meetings so that they can go and make their voice heard, you know, about the herd.
Okay. Heard about the herd. Okay. So talk a little bit about that conservation alert. It's not a text alert. It's an email alert sort of thing.
Correct. So we have a donor who noticed that in town, sometimes people were getting frustrated with the process, the planning process or the county process, and thinking, I didn't know that there was a public hearing on that, and maybe the public hearing happened 2 years ago, or maybe it happened 2 weeks ago. But this alert will look at issues relating to open space and the environment, and we will let you know when there's a time to make your voice heard or a time to go listen and see, so that you will know the issues when it is time to voice.
Right. And to get the correct information. And again, on this elk herd, I think people want to keep in mind that the Oscathorpes have done a great deal to help preserve the open lands. And I know they've worked with Summit Lands Conservancy quite a bit. And so open space and open land is a priority for them, even though they're farming this certain acreage.
Correct. Yeah, they did their the piece people call the Land of Oz over in by near Round Valley.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, moving on, just a recap of your Kids Outdoors program. It sounds like it grew. And the basic idea here is to get kids out doing unstructured whatever it is in the outdoors.
Correct. So kids are so busy nowadays, or if they're going outside, they're doing it to play their sport. There's not a lot of time for them to just go out and hang outside. So we partnered with Holy Cross Ministries in the after school program for three of the elementary schools this year, and we're getting an average of 55 kids outside a month to just play outside. This actually today, Jeremy Ranch Elementary is going to go to the Empire Canyon easement. We've only lost one shoe so far, and nobody's fallen in a river.
That's great. How did someone lose a shoe, really?
Just it's stuck in the mud.
Oh. All right, this is good. The Empire Canyon easement, where is that? I mean, we know it's in Empire Canyon, but it was a new one to me.
So it's a combination of a couple. There's the Silver King easement, sort of that encompasses the Silver King mine, mm-hmm. Just below the Park City ski boundary area. Then we've got a couple that are further up on Deer Valley property, and then there's Prospect Ridge, which is another Talisker Park City co.
Okay. So I'm envisioning that, you know, you show up on the open space and you've got this group of kids. How many kids will be coming from Jeremy Ranch? Like a class or?
I'm not sure this week. Last time they had 40 kids show up.
Okay.
So it just depends on how many kids are in that after school program and how many are getting ready to go outside.
So what do? You say, okay, here we are. Go climb a tree, throw some rocks, but don't hit each other.
Safety.
Do whatever.
Safety, that's the number one concern, being safe. But then letting them work it out. If somebody steals your stick, it's your sword, and how do you get it back? And just problem solving in the outdoors.
Okay, sounds good. All right, your conservation plan. Talk about what the updates are to that. You're kind of working with a consultant to create, an analysis and then update the plan?
Yes. So lately we've been having a lot of interest in conservation easements, and we're getting a little swamped, and we're trying to figure out a better way to go forward in our process. We're working with a woman, Julie, who's worked with the BLM in the past, and she's doing a weighted suitability analysis. So that's when we take sort of all these important pieces that we want to conserve, so threatened and endangered species, species that are on the biotics list that the Division of Wildlife looks at as important, sage-grouse leks, big game calving habitat, soils of statewide importance, the list goes on, and we pick which are the most important. Right now, we're looking at those on what the funding believes is most important, because those are the deals that are going to be able to get wrapped up first. And we've created a map that sort of looks like highest priority, mid-level priority, and lowest priority within our local watersheds. We did have a big strategic planning process over this past summer, and our new mission is the Summit Land Conservancy works with our communities to protect and preserve land and water for the benefit of people and nature. So we're kind of looking at more of the watershed level. We will have a printed plan that we will be able to distribute to people, and hopefully that'll be out in the next few weeks. But yeah.
Okay, sounds good. And finally, Gold Spike Award finalist, the Summit Land Conservancy, in two categories. So what's this?
Yeah, so the Public Relations Society of America, the Great Salt Lake chapter, every year holds this sort of contest called the Golden Spike Awards for recognizing individuals who do outstanding contributions to public relations in Utah. And we entered our Boot Guy campaign, and we were finalists this year in Creative Tactics and then Community Relations for a nonprofit.
Okay. I thought you were going to say for this preservation of open space, but no, it's your Boot Guy campaign. I like
it.
Okay. Erin Bragg is the Conservation Director of Summit Land Conservancy. Thanks so much for your time, Erin.
Thanks.
And it's now 8:16. We'll be back after these words with Summit County Manager Tom Fisher.
KPCW's monthly open space update with the Summit Land Conservancy airs the first Tuesday of every month. Brought to you by Vail Resorts.
Additional support for programming on KPCW is provided by Sammy's Bistro, now offering breakfast Thursdays to Sundays from 7 to 11 a.m. Peterson Calder Real Estate, Berkshire Hathaway, selling Park City since 1989. ExperienceParkCity.com. Sean Potter, Estate Planning in Summit and Wasatch Counties, WasatchLawGroup.com, 647-5951. Done to Your Taste Catering, 21 years perfecting life celebrations. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and listeners like you.
Hi, this is Chris Cherniak. Join Nell Larson and me each Tuesday at 9 a.m. for This Green Earth, a talk show about the environment and our relationship with it. That's This Green Earth every Tuesday at 9 a.m. on KPCW. Brought to you by Recycle Utah, Republic Services, Rocky Mountain Power, and Vail Resorts.
It's now 8:18. Good morning. This is the KPCW Local News Hour. I'm Lynn Ware-Peak. Now joining me in the studio, I have Summit County Manager Tom Fisher to talk about the agenda for tomorrow's meeting. Good morning to you, Tom.
Good morning, Lynn.
All right. Well, let's get right to the regular agenda there for tomorrow. A stipulation of the settlement with Summit Water. What's this about?
Well, you know, it's a settlement of a lawsuit that's been going on for several years, about 15 years, and well before my time, of course. But I'm not going to speak to any of the legal matters of it because our county attorney's office is much better at that than I am. But one of the big things that came out of this, or a result of, is that the way that pipelines are treated by the tax commission will change, or is anticipated to change, or there's some rulemaking that needs to go on around that. So I think it's a stay tuned kind of issue as far as the long-term effect of this, to see what the tax commission does in regards to pipelines, whether they're treated as real property or or personal property.
Okay. And so the county won't appeal it any further once it's determined?
I don't believe so. Of course, we'll be asking the council that today, whether they'll settle the lawsuit from our perspective. And that's what they're deciding today. So if they settle it, then that means that we won't appeal.
Okay. So you just made that sound very simple, and I'm glad you did, because when I was reading the story before, it was so difficult to figure out who should be assessed and for what.
Exactly. And you know, I'm not sure that I completely understand it at this point. So that's why I don't want to represent any of the details of that. I'll let the county attorney's office do that.
Okay. Sounds good. Now, you're looking at some changes to county ordinances. According to the staff report, the changes for business licenses and nightly rentals are fairly minor, but I know they're going through this at the city level as well.
Much less interesting than what the city has contemplated. Really, what's happening here is that our attorney's office was looking at some of our ordinances in comparison to some of the changes that have happened with state law over the last couple of years. Wanted to make sure that we were updating those on a timely basis to make sure that they were consistent. And so this item and having to do with alcohol licenses in the next item are both that. These are the attorney's office finally having the time to look at our ordinance, compare it to state law, and suggesting some updates to the council.
Okay. Well, there is a major overhaul proposed, though, for liquor licenses. What are the changes, and how do they relate to the county giving local consent for state alcohol licenses?
Well, I think one of the bigger items is that they'd like the council desires to support local business and make sure that it's as easy as possible for local business to navigate the alcohol licensing within the county. So one of the changes has to do with making sure that folks don't have to come back every year in a complicated process to renew their licenses, that if there's no issues, that it can be done easily. Mm. So then in other places, they were more concerned with supporting matching up the regulations with state law. So that's what they're contemplating today.
You know, the state always touts local control, mm-hmm. but it seems until it comes to liquor licenses. is that how it is? Or is the state recognizing that, you know, in a place like Park City, where tourism is a huge industry, and in many other parts of the state as well, are they giving over a little bit more to local?
Well, I mean, anecdotally, of course, I don't have a lot of history with the liquor licenses here in Utah. But anecdotally, I think there has been a general loosening of the laws since the early 2000s through today. I know from a legislative standpoint, they change every year. There's tweaks to state law regarding liquor licenses. So generally, in a conservative place, that would mean that there would be a looking to more local control. But I'd have to get into it a little bit more to understand that.
Okay. Sounds good. What are the changes to the countywide fee schedule?
So a couple of things. First of all, the library wanted to, you know, an interesting thing with online purchasing of books available now. When folks damage a book that they've borrowed or they lose a book, of course, we ask that they replace those. And generally, we would collect a fee and then we'd take care of that. But now people have the ability to go online and get something that perhaps is cheaper than the fee.
Mm-hmm.
So they're recognizing that and allowing that to happen within the fee structure. Within the clerk's office, just a basic change that allows when someone removes or illegally removes their business license from the front door of the business, there's a fine that can be charged for that. So that will be in place now. By the clerk. And then under Public Works, they're raising the tipping fees for trash going into the landfill so that by $3 per ton. That will allow us to take another step towards that enterprise fund or a fund within the county that's supposed to act like a business to be self-supporting. It won't be completely there, but it'll take us another step closer.
Okay. How close is the landfill to being self-supporting?
Well, I think in 2014, we ran a deficit of about $600,000, meaning that the general fund supported the landfill fund to the tune of about $600,000. This will bring us another approximately $165,000 per year closer. So we'll be reducing that general fund support to the landfill enterprise.
Okay. But the landfill does have some upcoming pretty big costs, right, with opening that new cell?
Absolutely. Of course, those are capital expenses that aren't necessarily covered within the landfill enterprise. We are trying to get to that point eventually, but we're not trying to eat the elephant all at once. It's a big expense to both close cells, open cells, and contemplate other things like the green waste program that we're trying to initiate over the next few years.
Mm. Oh, you're looking at...
Yeah, there's
maybe pickup.
I'm not sure on the collections part of that, but we are looking at a composting program for green waste, and it's within the master plan for the landfill enterprise, and we're figuring out how we can initiate that over the next few years.
Okay, sounds good. Now, the last of your budget presentations is a public arts budget.
That's one of the items, plus some cleanup of just miscellaneous parts of the budget that aren't represented by a department or office.
Okay.
Sure, the public arts folks will be in tomorrow to talk to the council and talk about their plans within the budget.
Okay. And, you know, since you do have a lot of experience in other places, how do you compare, you know, what we do with public arts? I always hear when a city tour comes back in the fall, there's always a lot of talk about other places and their public arts. How do we measure up?
Well, I you know, my experience in Mesa County or in other counties in Colorado, you know, the Park City area, Summit County area are leaders in that. Some of the communities that I've worked in emulate what Park City does and what Summit County does. You know, certainly the public art and arts community within Summit County is vast, we need to capitalize on that more.
Yes. Okay. Now, this will be your first meeting, I believe, with your new county council member, Talladere.
It's actually our second.
We met
last Monday when he was sworn in had some budget presentations. But yes, council member Adair is still new and still learning the ropes and shoved into the seat right during budget time. So it's an interesting time to be here.
Absolutely. Okay. And you've said farewell, of course, to former council member, Yor. And is he still showing up at meetings because he's just so in the groove?
No. Yeah. that's interesting. You know, he quickly transitioned and he's, I'm sure, fully immersed where he's at with CITLA. So, Talladere has been very active already, asking a lot of questions and trying to get integrated as quickly as possible. He's a quick study, so I'm looking forward to working with him.
Okay, good luck. And when are the public hearings set for the budget in Snyderville?
So the next two Wednesdays, so the 9th and the 16th, if my math works out correctly, are the two dates that the council will officially be hearing the budget.
Okay. Sounds good. Tom Fisher, Summit County Manager. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
And it's now 8:28. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment with the president of Ski Butlers. It's Bryn Carey. He's joining us not to talk about skis necessarily, more about climate change and those Paris climate talks.
Assemble would like to thank KPCW and the business community of Park City for your support during our first year of business. Phase 2 of Assemble will open this spring with 11 more offices, a conference room, and 8 workstations for Park City's hardworking, hard-playing professionals on the web at assembleparkcity.com.
Hi, I'm Matt from San Francisco Design, longtime supporter of KPCW. We provide a mix of contemporary and mountain modern home furnishings for a unique Park City lifestyle. Our showrooms are in Park City and Salt Lake and offer complete design services. We are on the web at sanfrandesign.com. San Francisco Design, love your home.
It's now 8:29. Good morning. This is the KPCW Local News Hour. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, sitting in for Leslie Thatcher this week. Well, Bryn Carey, my next guest, is the president of Ski Butlers here in Park City and around the West. But he's also on the Climate Realities I Am Pro Snow Founding Committee. And this is why he's headed this week to Paris to those climate talks. We're happy to be joined by him now. Good morning to you, Bryn.
Yes, thank you very much for having me.
So it's so interesting. Ski Butlers is a ski rental company, but you are so heavily invested and involved in climate change. And I've seen you and heard you speak. Talk about the connection and why it's there.
Well, our seventh core value is make a difference in the community. And a few years ago, I just became very interested in climate change and started to notice the effects it was already having on our ski communities. And I said, hey, we need to step up and be a part of the solution to ensure skiing into the 22nd century. So it is a passion of mine, but it's also a core part of our core values at Ski Butlers. And it's something we can take from our shops in Whistler all the way to Colorado and make an impact everywhere, not just here in Park City.
So one of the things that you've done here in Park City is you get 100% of your power from solar energy, from the sun, here in your office on Sidewinder Drive.
Yeah, we just had that installed in August. We are so pumped to be 100% powered by the sun. It's our goal to actually take that to all of our ski baller locations over the next few years. If we're going to talk the talk, we need to walk the walk. So
that's right.
It's important to be leaders.
How about electric vehicles to run those skis around town?
Well, that is the dream, that the van is a battery-powered van, and we plug it in to our solar panels at night. I think that's the perfect solution. And we need the COP21, the climate talks in Paris, to do what they're going to do so that people start investing in making that a reality.
Mm-hmm. So we've heard a lot over the last 2 days, really, since the climate talks began in Paris. It's about, you know, updates on your emission goals, on your net zero goals. And you spoke a couple weeks ago, last month sometime, in the aftermath of the city council making energy one of their critical priorities. And you gave this great talk about what other towns are doing, other towns that have already said, and even states that have said, we're going net zero by this year. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so there's over 100 cities and towns across the world that are said, hey, we're going to step up and make changes. We're going to create 100% renewable plans. Because the end goal, ideally, is to get the entire world to go 100% renewable by 2050. But it can be difficult to move the federal government, but local cities and towns can really move the needle and start changing things. And so here in Park City, it's so awesome that we have created this 100% net zero plan by 2032 that we can begin to share with other ski towns and other communities to push this and make this a reality. Because that is 100% the end goal.
Mm-hmm. So yesterday I heard Angela Merkel, German chancellor, speaking, saying it is us. It's the first world that has created really a lot of the carbon in the world, and it's our job to make the change. But I even think even more so for a town like Park City, where consumption is almost a badge of honor. Sorry to say, but you know, we heat our driveways. We have 10,000 square feet houses. How do you see? Is it making small changes along the way?
Well, that's an interesting question, because I think the very top level of that question is, we don't have to change anything. The technology is there. So if someone wanted to heat their driveway, as long as they had a lot of solar panels, then go for it, because it's free energy from the sun. With that said, I think some of the lowest hanging fruit is to start to make changes with LED lights and really using less energy so we can produce less energy. But at the end of the day, we could potentially transfer to 100% renewables and people could use more energy and it could be okay.
Okay.
I mean, that's probably not the way we should look at it, but I mean, it is one way we can look at it.
Right. So. It's a way to look at it and still maintain the lifestyle that people enjoy here.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of times people say, hey, we're going to have to change what we do. We can't have people fly to Utah. It's a big carbon footprint. Well, you know, over time, even the airplanes are going to have to change. And they have been testing some alternative fuels that don't produce any emissions. So we can make the change. We just have to have the desire to do it.
This state, of course, is powered by coal, about 85%. And in the state legislature, you know, there's a lot of pushback, shall we say, because coal is cheap and coal is abundant in the state. You have worked, in fact, you went recently to Washington, D.C. to lobby Senators Mike Lee and Orrin Hatch, along with the Protect Our Winners group. What do you see there? Is the tide shifting?
The tide is 100% shifting, and you could tell because, well, first off, they want to talk about jobs and costs. So if you're going to go meet with a senator, know what the jobs are, know what the cost is. And they understand that solar is becoming so cheap. So Warren Buffett invested about $15 billion a few years ago into solar. He just doubled down his bet with another $15 billion with his Nevada utility, and he bought solar for under 4 cents a kilowatt, cheaper than coal. And so what we're seeing is the cost is becoming so cheap that a place like, or a company like Rocky Mountain Power, it's not even going to make sense to have coal plants soon. So when we're talking about these towns and perhaps people losing their jobs and whatnot, it would be great to plan ahead and say, hey, you guys are going to have to transition at some point. Let's make this transition so you now have jobs and renewables and you don't lose your job. So That is the connection. And I asked Orrin Hatch's staff, I said, hey, what should we do? What can we do? And you know what they said? They said, keep pushing. We want you to keep pushing. Because they know, it's the politics in Washington that are a little tricky right now, but even they know that the future is clean energy.
On your website, skibutlers.com, I found this really great. Well, you have on your homepage, you can find a tab for climate change. And you go to this, there's a map of the United States, and you can put your browser over any state, and then up pops what they're doing, what each state is doing. It's so interesting. This is the Solutions Project. And I would encourage anyone who wants to see, you know, how does Utah stack up against Oregon or California?
Yeah, and it has such great data because it says, all right, this is where we need to go, and then here's all the cost savings and health savings. Because climate change with the bad air in Salt Lake and whatnot, there's all these other associated costs. And it's very cool, and it's very optimistic. And it's something that you can really bring to anybody that hasn't even heard about climate change or knows that much about it. And they can see, oh, this is where we need to go. This is all right. We can do this.
Right. Okay. So Climate Realities, I Am Pro Snow Founding Committee. You're part of this. And this is why you're heading to Paris with this delegation, I assume. Talk a little bit about that committee.
Yeah. So we're going to Paris. My wife's actually joining me on Thursday. And what we've done is we drafted this letter. We wanted to say, hey, the snow sports industry across the world wants the United Nations to take notice. We care about climate change. And so we have over 1,300 people that have signed on, from Ted Ligety to Rosie Nall to Ski Butlers to little kids that ski race. I mean, we have everyone. And so we're taking this to Paris this weekend. We're going to deliver it to the United Nations. And we're also going to be part of the World Climate Summit. And so we have a panel. We have the CEO of Rosie Nall. We have Seth Westcott, a gold medalist, with Mayor of Aspen. We have a few other folks. That's going to be moderated by Porter Fox, the editor of Powder Magazine and the author of Deep, and Ken Berlin, the Climate Reality Project CEO, will also be a part of it. And this will be presented to all kinds of business executives across the world. So we mean business. It's a billion-dollar industry in the United States. We need to protect our winners.
So is this how the climate talks are going, where in the first couple of days is dignitaries and leaders of countries, and then it breaks into panels on different topics and that sort of thing?
Yeah, so the conference, I think it's going to get down to the nitty-gritty right now and really try to make a deal once the head of states have left. The World Climate Summit is actually separate from the main conference. There's about 100 other events going on, so this is one of them.
Okay. So our snowpack, let's talk a little bit about that. There's no one who has lived here for, you know, 20 years or more who doesn't notice the change. It never used to rain, maybe once a winter. Now it rains quite often during the winter here. And, you know, climate change is inevitable and the human caused portion intensifies it. And the science shows. But, you know, we talk about in 50 years, we're not going to have a snowpack. How much, you know, how much do you think we can affect a change to preserve the snowpack? What does the science show?
That's a big question. I'm a believer that we can stop climate change. We have the technology. We can do it. A lot of times people say, hey, if we do something in Park City, it doesn't matter because China or in, you know, it's any other country. Well, they're going to get on this bandwagon and we're going to change fast. And it is a motivator that we might not have snow at the end of the century. It's a motivator that the snow line might be halfway up the mountain. But if we push, it's not going to be the same it is today. But I believe that we can have winter here in Park City if we go for it. But we need everybody. So everyone that's listening, we need everyone to stand up, become a part of this conversation and be a part of the solution, and call your senators, call your governor. We can make changes. And we've seen that here locally in Park City, you know, stepping up with city council and saying, hey, you know, we need a big plan, and they've done it. Nathan Rafferty from Ski, Utah, walked into the governor's office and said, hey, you need to support the EPA's clean power plan. Guess what? The most conservative state in the country, he signed that. Gina McCarthy from the EPA, we met with her. She could not stop talking about the success we've had in Utah. Or we also met with Obama's climate team at the White House. They could not stop talking about the success we've had in Utah. So we can make these changes and we can have snow.
Big, bold changes. Bryn Carey, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And when do you get back?
I'll be over in Paris through Monday, and then we're going to go visit Chamonix, and my brother coaches for the U.S. ski team, so we're going to watch him race in Val d'Isère the next weekend. Oh, so we'll be over there for about a week.
That sounds great.
We'll report back.
Please do. We'll have a longer conversation about what you learned, and have a great trip.
Thank you.
And that's Bryn Carey, president of Ski Butlers, heading off to the Paris Climate Talks. Stay tuned. We'll be back with therapist Allison Page. She'll be talking about trail talk therapy and a book signing coming up this Friday.
Mark Baker here from Esco Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electrical. And we are the proud sponsors of the Marketplace Morning Report on KPCW. Esco offers one phone call for all departments to make it easy to work together to fit your schedule. More information at escoutah.com or 855-ESCO-NOW.
Hi, I'm Chris Greenwood, and I'm happy to support KPCW. Christopher K. Greenwood & Associates has been providing legal services to Utah residents for over 15 years now. We're located in Park City at the Gateway Center and can help with personal injury, criminal defense, divorce, child custody, alimony, and real estate matters. We can be reached at 655-3680.
It's now 8:42. Good morning. This is the KPCW Local News Hour. I'm Lynn Ware Peak. Now joining me in the studio is a local author and therapist. It's Allison Page, and she's coming out with a new book called Trails Talk, a walking meditation along the trails of Park City, Utah, right here. You've probably seen her cool sprinter van around town and wondered, what is Trails Talk? Well, she's joining us now to tell us all about it. Good morning, Allison.
Good morning, Lynn. Thanks
for
having
me. Get right up to the microphone there.
Uh-huh.
So you started this business, what, 4 or 5 years ago?
September 2010.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the idea was to do therapy, but to get out on the trails, talk therapy, while you're walking. And I think, what a great concept, because isn't that what any of us do when we're out walking on the beautiful trails, is we start processing and
thinking. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. When you're out with your friends and you have a lot on your mind and you start walking, by the time you're done, you just have a sense of clarity. It's I have this tagline called move your body, clear your mind. And it's so true. And I actually thought of this. I was in graduate school at the time studying therapy, and I was more stressed out than I've been in years. And I thought, well, this is wrong. I'm supposed to be teaching people and talking to people about self-care and about learning how to manage stress and coping, developing coping strategies. And so I went out with my dog snowshoeing, and it's like, oh, this is so cathartic. And all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to do this with my clients. And so I went home and Googled it and found that there are other people walking and talking. So that's not a new concept. But what is for me is it's taking therapy off the couch and onto the trail. And what I'm trying to do is normalize emotional care for active functional people. Because many of us, you know, we're functioning very well, but there's some things going on that we just want to talk to someone about. But going into a therapy office feels kind of sick. And so what I want to do is make it feel less clinical. And a lot of people have never sought therapy before. And so I'm trying to make it feel less intimidating. So when I meet someone on a trail, they're like, well, you know, I think I could do this. It feels less intimidating than sitting down and looking at a stranger in the eye. And if I go into that office, my wife's going to know that I'm crazy, or my dad's going to think I'm weak, or, you know, because there's a lot of stigma around seeking emotional care. I call it tuning up your emotional compass.
So it's kind of a funny question. I was going to say, well, do you have to get your heart rate up to a certain amount to then, you know, have the most potential for opening up? But it is a physiological response, really, to that, you know, the endorphin thing or the dopamine or whatever it is that tends to release when we exercise. So what's like the optimal, you know, type of exercise, or how rigorous does it need to be, or does it?
It doesn't need to be. And trail talk is really about walking side by side. It's not, there's no competitive nature to it. This is not going to replace anybody's exercise for the day if they are a vigorous exerciser. It's about walking side by side, moving bilateral, back and forth, exposure to sunlight, and also being in nature. And there's a release of dopamine and serotonin, you know, the endorphins. It's not pace related. And of course, as we become more competitive athletes, we really feel like we got to go really hard to get that, you know, that get into the zone and feel that dopamine rush, because we all tend to be dopamine junkies, and our drug of choice is many different things, and exercise is one of them. Well, this is not replacing that. It's really about gaining some clarity. And just like you said, you could be out walking with some friends and stopping and just looking at the beauty and really that connection with nature. Nature is really our tool,
right?
Our main therapeutic tool. I kind of make it's sort of like taking wilderness therapy techniques into mainstream private practice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have seen that adorable sprinter van that you have running around, maybe over the last year or two. And so obviously you've expanded the business. How many therapists are there working with you, or how big is the business now?
Well, I have three trailheads. It's code for offices. And so I have one in Park City. I'm right next to Good Karma above the Avatech guys, 1760 Prospector. My van, I consider that my second trailhead. I actually move it around, and sometimes we actually meet in the van. It's tricked out like an office, and there's four captain's chairs. I've got Apple TV, a direct dish on the top, great sound system. It's really a very cool van, and I do use a lot of technology to talk about. I use metaphors in my teaching, and so when we're talking about therapy and the psychoeducation, I use the Apple TV to explain things. So sometimes I'll bring that van down by the river. I get a lot of Chris Farley jokes about my van. And keep the door open. I have a propane heater, and we can sit in. We have a different backdrop, and it brings a smile to everybody's face. I've got teenagers that are like, oh my gosh, this is so cool, and it just makes me want to talk. And so It was a bit controversial, and especially wrapping it with my logo. And I thought, well, that's the whole point. I'm trying to destigmatize access to emotional care for active functional people. So if you're embarrassed to say, oh, I'm going to therapy, then we need to talk about that, because that's the stigma I'm trying to help get rid of. And that's, and it's a big movement, but I think that in a small way I can contribute to that.
Yeah.
And then my third office is in Salt Lake. It's at 4190 Highland, and I have a full-time therapist there. I have five therapists all together. My game plan is to affiliate it or franchise Trail Talk. So there'll be Trail Talk Denver, Trail Talk Maine. I'm from Maine. And that's my goal, to make it an easy access. Trail Talk's accessible, approachable, and affordable.
And you've written a book. It's the Trails Talk book, and you'll have a book signing at Dolly's this Friday from 5 to 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. What's the book about?
Well, I love taking photographs, and I'm on trails all over town. And I talk a lot about mindfulness in my therapy practice. And as we walk, I use those principles. And so Trails Talk is just another way of seeing Park City from a calmer perspective. You know, Park City's the hustle and bustle of Main Street, and there's a lot of downhill racing, but there's another side of Park City that's quite beautiful and quiet, and so this book is a depiction of that. That it's just another way of looking at Park City, and I hope there'll be Trails Talk Salt Lake City, Trails Talk Denver, Trails Talk Sun Valley someday.
All right. Well, best of luck, Allison. And it's nice to have you in. The founder of Trail Talk with a new book. Again, a book signing at Dolly's this Friday from 5 to 8 p.m. Great speaking with you.
Thank you, Lynn. I appreciate it.
And if I see that van around town, can I just come knocking?
Absolutely. Wave and come by and come inside.
I want to sit on the inside of that.
It'll definitely put a smile on your face.
Okay, very good. Thanks, Allison.
Thank you.
And it's now 8:50. We'll be back in just a moment with Craig McCarthy to talk about the Winter Kickoff Expo.
Hi, this is David Jensen, the director of the Habitat for Humanity Restore in Park City. If you've been to the Restore, you already know about the incredible treasures and deals found there every day. If you're new to the Restore, you're in for a treat. Our great customers come from hours away to find amazing bargains on new and used fine furniture, light fixtures, appliances, and building materials that have been donated to us. And as always, the Restore is open to the public, and we're proud to be a local nonprofit KPCW supporter.
Hi, I'm Marin Mullen, a Recycle Utah board member. Did you know that Recycle Utah accepts EPS packaging blocks of styrofoam? Thanks to you, Park City, we now have a new densifier and can even save more space at the landfill. EPS is shredded and compacted right on site.
Recycle Utah is your local nonprofit recycling drop-off center, bringing water conservation ideas to you for now 25 years. We support KPCW and the idea of leading sustainable lives in Park City.
It's now coming up on 8:52. Good morning. This is the KPCW Local News Hour. I'm Lynn Ware Peak. Well, this Thursday, December 3rd, from 5 to 7:30 p.m., it's the Winter Kickoff Mixer and Activities Expo. Get your winter rolling. Here to tell us all about it is Craig McCarthy from the Park City Chamber Bureau. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning, Lynn. It's a beautiful winter morning. Which
sure
means
is.
It's time for the Winter Kickoff Mixer. The season is here.
It's always a fun mixer. Socialize, network, eat some food, drink some drink.
Well, it certainly features one key feature that people in Park City love. We'll have lots of free food there. And that is always something that brings people out. But more importantly, we're going to have 38 different activity and entertainment providers on hand that evening that are going to have information for locals and visitors. So if you have people visiting this winter, if you're working in any kind of a business where you're interacting with visitors, this event is for you. This really is. That's why we do it. It's really a great educational opportunity for the whole community.
So if you think about it, you know, the concierge and all the hotels, we think, well, they're the ones that really talk to the guests. But really, every single one of us that live here from time to time talks to tourists and guests to our town. And so we all kind of need to have that knowledge, don't we?
We are all ambassadors for Park City. It's not just the front desk staff of a hotel. You're absolutely right. We all need this knowledge. We all need to know what's going on. And even if all you have is your family coming, say, over Christmas or New Year's or anything like that, you know, you need to come up with things for these people to do. And then, of course, if you work in any kind of a retail shop, a restaurant, a lodging property, a condominium property, anything that you interact with, get with visitors from out of town, you need to be able to tell these people what there is to do, where to go, and just really have some idea of what you should be, what these people should do when they're here so they can have a good time and come back.
So I just had some family come to town over Thanksgiving, and some of them had never been to Park City before. And it really, I had to stop and think, okay, where do I tell them to go? Where do I tell them to go? And it's funny because I for years and years and years, I had never gone to the Utah Olympic Park to go through the museum there or to take the tour there. And it is fantastic. And then I thought, well, the Stein Erickson Lodge just won the world's best hotel, ski hotel award. I better tell them to go there. But literally, I had to get on my sort of creative hat to think about it. So I know that all of these folks will be there, and I'm thinking 38. 38. Give me a few that I wouldn't expect. Like, do we still have the sled dog thing going? And I don't know. Give me some.
You wouldn't believe how much there is to do here. I'll just give you some examples. Park City on the Fly will be there to talk about fly fishing. Backcountry snowmobiling, as well as Thousand Peaks. They offer snowmobile tours. All Seasons Adventures, Red Pine Adventures, Goose and his gang at All Seasons offer snowshoeing, rock climbing. They also offer fly fishing. The Paint Mixer, painting and drinking wine.
Hey.
What a fun evening. Park City Food Tours, Sharon and her gang do great tours of Main Street restaurants. Utah Wine Tours. There's people that do wine tours, believe it or not, in the state of Utah. Of course, there's Gorgoza Park for tubing. That's always a good one. Ramp Sports will be there to show off their skis, but you can go out and take a tour at the facility too, which is a really cool thing to do. Of course, the Park City Institute, Kimball Arts Center. There's so much going on with both of what they do in the arts world. It's incredible, you know, just all the things that you hear about here on KPCW on the radio, of course, but there's other things going on too. Storm Cycles, winter cycling. Now with the bikes with the big fat tires on them, you can go out and bike around Valley in the wintertime. You know, that's something to do. Of course, the two resorts will be there. Utah Olympic Park will be there talking about what they have to do. Of course, there's
KPCW.
KPCW is always there. And, you know, it's interesting you say that. They come to all of our events. KPCW is something you need to tell visitors about because there's so much information that a visitor can get from KPCW, from the ski reports, just to events going on. That's a very important part of who comes to our events. So we're pleased that they're too.
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Okay. Well, always a good time, 5 to 7:30 p.m. again on Thursday, December 3rd, free food. And
there's lots of swag that'll be there. We do prize drawings about every 15 minutes. A lot of our exhibitors give us prizes, and then people will actually go around and visit 15 booths. They fill out a little card. And when they bring that to our table, and then they become eligible for prize drawings. There's usually free lift tickets from the resorts. Enterprise Rent-A-Car is going to be there with a 3-day free car rental. I mean, there's some really good stuff that comes out. Usually the Park City Institute has some tickets there for some of their events. So it's worth it to come. I mean, there's good stuff there besides free food.
Certainly is. Okay.
And there is a cash bar, too. So.
Oh, cash bar. All right. And, you know, just want to mention also that a lot of transient population coming to town to work during the ski season, a lot of times from other places, and they don't know a lot about what's going on in Park City if guests ask them. So I certainly hope that if any of them are listening right now, that they will go to the mixer.
Encourage them, or if you're a supervisor of any seasonal people, please have them come. This is their opportunity to learn about all there is to do and be able to answer guest questions very effectively.
Okay. Great. Craig McCarthy, thanks so much for stopping by, and we'll see you at the mixer.
Look forward to it, Lynn. It's going to be a good time.
It's now 8:58. We'll be right back after these words.